Thanks, Rachel, and very happy new year to you if I haven't seen you yet. Do keep that reading in front of you, and today, no expense spared, you have two handouts. You have a handout that was available at both services this morning and this afternoon, and then you have an extra special handout for this afternoon. So do keep those in front of you. This will be the one, this will be the main one, but then when we come to talking about this service, we'll turn to that one. Let me pray. Father, thank you that we can gather like this. Thank you that you are with us by your Spirit, and thank you that you are working amongst us, and we thank you that this is a new year, and that you are doing a new thing, and we want you to be at the center of it all and to be leading us. And so we place ourselves in your hands and ask you to work now and in this coming year. In Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. This does feel like a new start, a new season in the life of St. Mark's Community Church. In one sense, nothing has changed. In another sense, everything has changed. We'll come on to think about that a little bit later. But I hope there's a sense of excitement at what God could do in 2024. At the Annaby Churches, we are a Christ-centered community existing to spread a passion for Jesus Christ across the Annaby communities and beyond. We love Jesus, we're excited by Jesus, we see him as our hope, our joy, our life. We long for others to know him and to receive the life to its full that he brings. And we're a community, we've been gathered together by the Holy Spirit around the throne of Jesus who rules us by his word. And we seek to go about that purpose in three ways, making disciples who make disciples, supporting mission in West Hull and beyond, and sending disciples to bless the Annaby communities. And each year we pause to ask the question, what might God have in store for us this year? Where might he be leading us? And that's what we're going to do today. We tend to adopt a new vision every couple of years, and in the second year we adapt it slightly, and we're in the middle of a two-year cycle. So again, we're going to continue with the vision that we set out a year ago with a few changes. And you can see the vision on the handout, third paragraph down, and the changes from last year are the bits in italics. So we haven't changed very much, actually. So let me just read it out. To seek by God's grace to grow as a prayerful, missional community of mutual love, living out the joyful, loving life of the Trinity in our relationships with one another and others, flowing out into the wider community. So here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. We're going to look back at 2023 and what God has been doing. Then we'll consider our passage for today that Rachel read. And then finally, we'll look ahead to what God might be calling us to in 2024. So looking back, following a difficult year in 2022, and still recovering from the isolation of COVID, in 2023, we set out seeking under God to grow in community and in gospel culture. That is living out what we believe in our relationships with each other. And I think by God's grace, we saw some real progress, particularly in relation to growing community. I would highlight a few things. So growing community and belonging at Connect Cafe, at WOW, our women's group meets on a Wednesday, in the community garden, in some of the life groups, in the time of fellowship, and particularly at 10 o'clock actually, there's been a real growth in the time of fellowship after the service. And I praise God for that, and I thank God for those who've had a role in those things. I think we also saw real growth in godly relating to each other. And another real positive behind the scenes was the second phase of development of the church over the way there. And if you haven't been round the back to have a look at the far side of the hall, then I encourage you to do so. And Jill King was particularly involved in that, and we're very grateful to her for all her hard work. But most of us will know that 2023 was also a challenging year. It was a challenging year for us as a whole church as we prayerfully considered and continue to consider how to respond to developments in the Church of England over living in love and faith. Then as a result of that, it was a challenging year as several valued people left this congregation, St Mark's Community Church. And then in part as a result of that, it was a challenging year for me personally as I experienced some symptoms of burnout at the back end of April and then took some months to recover from that. But we've discovered that challenges also create opportunities. At our church day away in June, if you were there, you'll remember that we were encouraged by Mark Carey to ask two questions over the summer. What are you saying to us as a church? What should we do about it? And we had a number of prayer and praise evenings considering those questions. And then this congregation continued to ask those questions in September. And we looked at today's passage, Acts 2, 42 to 47, and we considered how committed were we to continuing as a congregation, meeting at this time and in the St Mark's building. And certainly in September, the answer was that there was still a commitment for that. There's lots more we can say about 2023, but that's enough to get us started and to launch into today's passage. It's the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come down on the first disciples to dwell in them. And the Apostle Peter has given a powerful sermon. And in the previous verse, verse 41, we read that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wouldn't it be great to have a day like that? In today's verses, Luke, the writer, then gives a snapshot of how the early church community lived and related in those exciting early days. Now, we're not going to consider the passage in great detail. What we will do is draw out a few things that will help us as we look ahead to the coming year. And the first one is at the bottom of the page one of the handout. So there are three dimensions of relating. Three dimensions of relating. These early Christians related in three directions. And that's shown on the handout by a triangle. So they related up to God. Let's just see this from the passage. And if you've got a pencil or a pen, then do fill in the blanks. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's God's word, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 47, praising God. And verse 43, they were filled with awe at the things that God had done. So that's the first direction of relating. The second is they related inward, that is, to each other. So verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to fellowship. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And by the way, that's not to say that private property was abolished, but it is to say that when they were aware of need, they did something about it. They gave out of their own possessions to meet that need. And praise God, I do see that happening at the Annaby churches as well, people giving of themselves and of their possessions when there is need. And then verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So that's relating inward to one another. And then the third dimension of relating is outward to the wider community. So verse 43, everyone was filled with awe. And I take it that that includes those who weren't yet part of the community of faith. And then verse 47, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There are three dimensions of relating, each of which is vitally important, and we're going to come back to those in the future. Second, consider the different contexts of relating. And if you turn the handout over to page 2, we'll come to that in a moment, but starting with verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There are at least two contexts or spaces that are mentioned here. They met publicly in the courts in the Temple of Jerusalem, and they met privately in homes. And scholars have considered these spaces more, and they've seen parallels with Jesus' ministry and with Paul's ministry, and they've drawn lessons for church life today. And you can see on the table that there are these four spaces: public, social, personal, intimate, each one worked out in Jesus' ministry. We've got the contrast between temple and home in Acts 2. And then we've got these four settings, at least four settings in church life today. So the Sunday service, missional community, which we'll come back to, small groups. Lots of us are involved in a life group or in WOW, for example. And then intimate, which in church life means just getting together with one person to pray with them or to share how life's going, which many of us find incredibly helpful to do. And it is worth just pausing to ask the question, are we involved? Am I involved in those spaces, or which of those spaces am I involved in, and what would be the benefits of being involved in the different spaces? That might be something to be thinking about this week. And then notice some of the key emphases of the church in those early days, and I'm not going to say much about these five things on the sheet because we've talked about them all many times over the years, but they're all there: discipleship, word, spirit, community, and mission, and increasing numbers. So there's a few insights from Acts chapter 2. We're going to turn now to think about the year ahead and how some of these might be relevant for us as a church. Lots of the things from last year, it's worth saying, will continue, particularly an emphasis on developing community and on continuing to develop gospel culture. Those things are absolutely vital. The main change, and I said this morning as well, the main change as regards the Annaby churches this year, it relates to this congregation, St. Mark's Community Church. And as I've put it, prayerfully explore developing St. Mark's Community Church into a missional community. And if you were here on the 17th of December, you'll know we talked about this, and we had Bishop Eleanor Sanderson, the Bishop of Hull here, and her husband Tim talking about their experience. They've got many years' experience of doing this kind of thing in New Zealand. And those who were here at that meeting, I think it's fair to say there was an excitement and there was a desire to move forward in exploring that. And so we're going to. And we've had some thoughts. I met with the leadership team earlier, and we've got a few thoughts for the next few weeks, which I'll share in a moment. So moving to the other handout, the little special 4 o'clock handout. So what is a missional community? And some of this will be repeating what we thought about on the 17th of December, but that's okay. For others, it'll be new. If you turn to the appendix, sorry, you actually need both handouts at this point. because there is an appendix on the first handout about what is a missional community. So it's a community of Christians, usually between 20 and 50 people, intentionally focused on mission and on discipleship. And mission doesn't mean door knocking. It might for some, but it doesn't for everybody. It just means wanting to reach out with the good news of Jesus in lots of different ways. They're often linked to a larger church family who they meet from time to time to celebrate what God's doing and encourage each other. And obviously one of the characteristics we have here is that we have two congregations. We've got 10 o'clock at St. Peter's. We've got 4 o'clock at St. Mark's. The main thing is that the community is characterized by three things. Another triangle. So what Eleanor called spiritual parents, what you might also call disciplers, somebody who's sort of supervising, if you like. And then a clear mission focus. So there's a clear way in which the community is reaching out to the wider community to share the good news of Jesus, and a predictable pattern. So it's not necessarily the same thing every week, but it is predictable. It's not like, I've got no idea what's happening this week. It's predictable. You know what's going to happen. the driving force behind the community is the gathering of the leaders in something that is often called a huddle, through meeting regularly and asking those two questions we thought about earlier. What is God saying to you? What are you going to do about it? That's really the heart of it. There's some other things that I've jotted down below that are also important. But that's the heart of it. What would it look like in practice? When the PCC talked about this, this was probably their key question. What's this actually going to look like in practice? And I've already said there is a predictable pattern. So we will know in advance what is going to happen. It's worth saying we are in the very early stages. So we are taking it a step at a time at the moment to work out what the predictable pattern will be. And actually, it's something we're all involved in. So it's not that I'm sort of standing here saying, this is what we're going to do. We all have input, which is one of the real positives of it, I think. I think the main thing to say for January is that if you turn up here at 4 o'clock, something will be happening every week in January. So it's not like next week we're going to meet at 6 o'clock and the following week we're not going to meet at all. There will be something happening every week at 4 o'clock. What we thought about earlier... Tufty's excited about that. What we thought about earlier was that a good pattern for January... I will communicate this, don't worry. A good pattern for January might be that we next week we meet to pray... to pray for what God is doing, to pray for, particularly for the missional focus, for God to lead us in that. The week after, we meet for another service like this, we might call a normal service like this. And then the week after that, whatever that is, the last Sunday in January, we meet for tea and cake and games. And we invite a friend or invite a family to come and join us. So that's our initial offering, and we will settle into a predictable pattern that's the same each month. But obviously at this early stage, it's a bit more tricky. But the main thing is, if you turn up at 4 o'clock, something will be happening. Having said that, how will we know what's happening? Communication is clearly going to be important. And we've got the notice sheet, and we've got email, but we did wonder whether it would be worth also setting up a 4 o'clock WhatsApp group. Some of you might think that you're in too many WhatsApp groups already. We want to put up your hand if you think that would be a good idea to have a 4 o'clock WhatsApp group. Okay, brilliant. So could we, please, because I'm not very organized, could somebody grab a piece of paper right now from the back and just pass it around the tables? If you would like to be in the WhatsApp group, please write your name. And if you think we haven't got your number, write down your phone number as well, your mobile number, and you will be in a WhatsApp group, and you will know what's happening. Great. What will our missional focus be? That's one of the key things. And it's something we work out together. It's something we'll pray about next week. And please do be praying that God would lead us. People have already been having thoughts and ideas and visions, which is very exciting. We trust God to lead us in that. Big question, how will I be fed spiritually when we don't have a normal Sunday service with a sermon? Okay? That's something we've thought about several times. It's something we need to keep on thinking about, but there are some suggestions on the handout. So, actually, the first thing to say is, even if you do come to church and hear a sermon, that's not enough. Anyway, it's important for every Christian to be finding ways to grow spiritually through the week, every day. That's the first thing to say. Second thing to say is we will find that we are fed spiritually anyway when we meet for community and outreach. Then there are the midweek groups and events which are restarting this week. So life groups, WOW, Man Cave are all restarting this week. Personal time with God each day is vitally important. And you'll see that there is a web page on our website with suggestions for that. And we'll probably update that and keep sharing ideas. But two other things that I've literally discovered in the past month, and both of which I think are going to be very significant for me personally and could be significant for you as well. One is an app called Lectio 365. There's a morning and an evening each day. It's about 10 minutes long, and it's like a guided meditation to help you to come to God, to hear his word, and to respond to him. So I'd encourage you to look that up. The other thing is something called Practicing the Way, which I literally discovered 2 weeks ago, but is brilliant. It's developed by a guy called John Mark Comer, who wrote a well-known book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And he's helping Christians to develop spiritual practices. And I think it's got real potential to be helpful for lots of Christians. So again, I'd encourage you to go and have a look at that. Those are things we might do together at some point, but equally there's something that we can be doing on our own. And then finally, let's talk to each other for ideas and let's have those conversations to make sure we are growing spiritually. That's all I'm going to say about 4 o'clock, but if you have other questions, there'll be a chance at the end just to ask any, and then we can talk afterwards as well, if that would be helpful. Other things, so number two, we're going to seek to embed the discipleship questions, what is God saying to us, what should we do about it, into our corporate life. I've found over the past year that asking those two questions is incredibly helpful for me personally and for the church family as a whole, and I'd encourage us to be finding ways to be asking them in the year ahead. It is worth saying, just to avoid any confusion, that the primary way in which God speaks to us by his Spirit is through his word, the Bible. That is foundational. And God can minister to us and lead us in other ways, but when he does, he'll never contradict anything that he says in the Bible. So if we think God's leading us in a way that goes against what the Bible says, then we know for sure it's not God that's leading us. The Bible is foundational. How can we embed these two questions? Well, as a church, I trust the PCC will continue to ask them. I trust we'll all keep praying that God leads us as a church. I'll be doing a sermon series over the next few weeks that considers some helpful ways of thinking about discipleship and asking those two questions. For us as individuals, there are different ways. So I've already said that some of the leaders of this congregation are going to be in a huddle with and will be helped with that by Eleanor and Tim. And that's a group of six or so people who meet to ask those questions and to grow in faith and discipleship. And we hope that other huddles will develop in the coming months. But even if you're not in that, you could simply make a habit of asking yourself those two questions or meeting with somebody else to ask those two questions. What is God saying to me? What am I going to do about it? A couple of other things I'm just going to mention briefly. That we're going to consider, and this will be mainly the PCC, but with input from the church, consider whether we need to refresh our values as the Annaby churches and also as individual church communities. So we established a set of values back in 2015 as a church. Lots has happened since then. We wondered whether it might be worth refreshing them for the church. And then responding as appropriate to changes taking place in the Church of England. Just on that, I would ask you to pray, particularly for a PCC meeting on the 15th of January, a week on Monday, considering any suitable response to the November Synod, last November, and what was decided there. So 2024 lies before us. There will be challenges, no doubt, but there are also opportunities. I think for us it promises adventure, a weekly adventure of trusting God, seeing where he leads us together. I invite us to hold this picture, this snapshot from Acts chapter 2 in our minds as we consider those challenges and opportunities. It's God's church. He's building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Rachel, do you want to come forward and we can think about responding? I did say I thought it was good to have an opportunity for people to ask any questions publicly, but obviously you can also come and ask privately afterwards as well. But did you want us to respond in any particular way?
Why don't we all just take a minute and have a think about what Steve has said? Maybe you've got some questions that you kind of need to just think through before you're able to ask them. So let's just take a moment and just have a quick think. Chat on your tables if you need to, and then we'll come back and ask questions in a minute or so.